This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Our first reading this morning is the beginning of the first book of Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to you who have been sanctified by Christ Jesus, called to be holy, with all those everywhere who call upon the name of Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace from God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always on your account, for the grace of God bestowed on you in Christ Jesus, that in him you were enriched in every way, with all discourse and knowledge, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you firm to the end, fully blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, and by God, you were called to fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our affirmation of faith is in your bulletin. Let's rise as we join together in our statement of faith. We have confidence in Jesus, who healed the sick, the blind, and the paralyzed, and even raised the dead. He cast out evil powers and confronted corrupt leaders. He cleansed the temple. He favored the poor. He turned water into wine, walked on water, calmed storms. He died, rose from the dead, and ascended to God, and sent the Holy Spirit. We have confidence in Jesus, who taught in word and example, sign and wonder. He preached parables of the kingdom of God on hillsides, from boats, in the temple, in homes, at banquets and parties, along the road, on beaches, in towns, by day and by night. He taught the way of love for God and neighbor, for stranger and enemy, for outcast and alien. We have confidence in Jesus, who called disciples, led them, gave them new names, new purpose, and sent them out to preach good news. He washed their feet as a servant. He walked with them, ate with them, called them friends, rebuked them, encouraged them, promised to leave, then return, and promised to be with them always. He taught them to pray, rose early to pray, stole away to desolate places, fasted and faced agonizing temptations, wept in a garden, and prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." He rejoiced, he sang, he feasted, he wept. We have confidence in Jesus, so we follow him, learn his ways, seek to obey his teaching, and live by his example. We walk with him, walk in him, abide in him as a branch in a vine. We have not seen him, but we love him. His words are to us words of life eternal, and to know him is to know the true and living God. We do not see him now, but we have confidence in Jesus. Amen.
Our focus scripture for the morning comes from the Gospel according to John, the first chapter, verses 29 through 42. This is Jesus, part of Jesus' baptism story in John. It's different than the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And also the calling of the first disciples, which is also different than probably the story that we remember. So pay close attention to the words of John's Gospel this morning. The next day, Jesus was seen by John coming to him and said, "There is a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'A man is coming after me, but he is greater than I am because he existed before I was born.' I did not know who he would be, but I came baptizing with water in order to make him known to the people of Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and stay on him. I still did not know that he was the one, but God, who sent me to baptize with water, had said to me, 'You will see the Spirit come down and stay on a man. He is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen it, and I tell you that he is the Son of God." The next day John was standing there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus walking by. "There is the Lamb of God," he said. The two disciples heard him say this and went with Jesus. Jesus turned, saw them following him, and asked, "What are you looking for?" They answered, "Where do you live, Rabbi?" This word means teacher. "Come and see," he answered. It was then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So they went with him and saw where he lived and spent the rest of that day with him. One of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. At once he found his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah." Then he took Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at Simon and said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas. This is the same as Peter and means rock." These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. Well, some rock, huh? This Simon, whose name was changed to Cephas, which means Peter. We know a little more about Peter because we've been through the scriptures, the stories of Peter and other parts of scripture before. Peter's not the world's best rock, is he? Now, there are rocks referred to all parts of the Bible. Rocks are a metaphor for a lot of things. But when we think of a rock, when you think of a rock, what comes to mind? Something strong, maybe, immovable? I had some rocks in the fields when I was farming that were immovable. If you go up in northeast Iowa, you'll find a lot of rocks that are immovable. And if they do get them out, they don't take them very far. They push them up in the corners of fields because they're huge. Bigger than cars. Strong, immovable. Rocks are foundational. If you go in the basement of the parsonage, that entire basement is made of rock. That's the foundation. And I'm not talking little rocks. I'm talking big rocks. I'm talking a foundation at least this thick. If there's ever a tornado, come on over. We'll all stay in the basement together. Or we have to refer to things like, this building is solid as a rock. Right? Not going to be blown down, torn down, burnt down. Or like a rock. Or you're a rock. You're solid. You can be depended upon. Now I'll admit that rocks can be a nuisance. I spent a lot of time in my farming years jumping on and off of tractors in the field picking up rock. I had a rock box on each of my tractors. I'd fill it before noon. I'd go to the house. I'd dump it. I'd fill it again. I had a big pile of rocks in the northeast corner of the farmstead at Iowa Falls. They came around and they took, you know, the aerial photos of your farmstead. And then they come and they sell you those photos. And the guy that sold us ours said, "You know, we can take anything out of there that you want. We can make it look however you want." And I said, "Take that rock pile out of the picture." I shouldn't tell this on Pam, but I will. She wanted to make a pole or post to put our mailbox on. I said, we're not doing that. I drug those out of the field. I'm not putting anything up like that with those rocks. What we have here this morning, what we heard is John's first disciple story. Did you catch the differences? Here, Jesus doesn't go out to the seaside and call the disciples to come follow me. It's some of John's disciples that John points Jesus out to, and they follow him. So according to John, the Gospel of John, the first disciples who became Jesus' disciples were first John's disciples. Andrew sees Peter, or sees Jesus, and he goes to his brother Simon and says, "We found the one, the Messiah. Come see." He follows Andrew. He sees Jesus, and Jesus says, "Oh, yeah, you're Simon. I'm going to change your name to Cephas, which means rock, solid, immovable, strong." Except we know, don't we, that Peter's prone to putting his foot in his mouth. Peter's prone to telling Jesus with some of the other disciples, "No, don't let the kids come. They're a nuisance. Send them away." Peter's the one that when Jesus tells him of what's about to happen to him, that he'll be arrested and crucified, Peter says, "No, that ain't happening." Peter's the one when Jesus is arrested that denies him three times before the cock crows. Doesn't sound much like a rock to me, does it to you? Yet Peter we can identify with because Peter's a lot like us. The same wavering, strong in the faith sometimes, wavering in other times. And yet through all of this, all of the things that Peter did that weren't so rock-like, one of the other Gospels, when Jesus appears after his resurrection, he still calls Peter a rock. Even though we're more like Peter than we might care to admit, it's a good thing that we are like Peter, because Jesus loves, Jesus forgives, Jesus continues to call us even when we're not so rock-like. Yet we in this day, in this time, are rocks, the foundation of the church, strong, solid, called on to spread the good news, to tell the stories. Our affirmation of faith this morning is a pretty good condensed version of the story of Jesus that we are to share with the world in word and action. We are the rock, the rocks, if you will. We come here on Sunday mornings to meet Jesus and carry that story out into the world so that others may know of God's love for them as we know of God's love for us. God is a rock. Jesus is a rock. We are rocks. Called to be the church, sent out in love, strength, in peace, to tell the story in every way that we possibly can. Let's remain strong, like the rocks that we are called to be, named to be. Amen.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.